This is a production of Cornell University.
All right, the time is now 12:15. I'm going to call this meeting to order. I see that Michelle is here, so I'm going to ask her to do roll call.
Hi, let me get into the folder for the... Take me a second, but... Bear with me while I drill through all of these folders. All righty. We have Susan Berry. Joseph Canella. Marin, I see, is here. Jackie. Don't believe I see her yet. Hey, Hayes here. Jamie is not going to make it. He's taking care of a technical issue. Brenda Fisher. Brandon Fortenberry. I'll be hard pressed if we have quorum today. Brian is here. Andrea is here. Emily Ivory. Rigel's here, I'm here, Christine. Oh, here's folks coming in. So Jackie's now here. Let's see, Virginia, Jen is here. Ashley Miller, Ellen Miller is here. Mary Newhart is here. Nasser. Oh, Brandon's in here. Okay, good. Kit here, Laura Taylor, Jessica Townley, Jessica Withers, yep. And Lisa Zacharias. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. So moving on, let's go to business of the day. I want to welcome Kate Supron, Gary Stewart to present on community relations. So I'm going to pass the floor over to Kate and Gary Stewart.
Okay, super. Thank you so much. As you all know, I am a member of the Employee Assembly. I'm Kate Supron, and I represent the Division of University Relations. So I have the pleasure of representing Gina on the Employee Assembly. Within University Relations, I work in the Office of Community Relations, and we like to get out and share with folks around campus what we do, and what better spot to do that than the Employee Assembly, where we have people who are representing divisions and staff from all over campus. We'll start with some brief introductions, and then I'll go over our local economic screenshot. Susan Riley will talk about our off-campus connections, and Gary will talk about our Town Gown Awards. So with that, I will ask my colleague, and four of the five of our team are here today. We will start with Kate Brill, who will introduce herself, and our colleague Penny Given, who is not here today. So Kate Brill.
Thanks, Kate. So I am an administrative assistant in the Office of Community Relations. I have been at Cornell for 16 years, in this office for 7 years. Before that, I was in the Statler Hotel and various positions in student services. My primary focus is upkeep and maintenance of our website, as well as mass mailings, social media platforms, project planning. I'm part of the university event management planning team. I'm a recent graduate of the Leadership Tompkins program, class of 2020, and I currently live in Tioga County with my two children. I'm also going to talk about Penny today. She is not here. She is also an administrative assistant in the office. I feel like that's a weird title because we all do so much more than that. She's responsible for things like scheduling meetings, doing calendars. She also handles and processes the community contributions, which is a really large part of her job. She is a 2017 graduate of the Leadership Tompkins program, and she now serves on the advisory board for that program. And Penny lives in Schuyler County with her partner, Ed, two dogs and one cat.
Great. Thank you so much, Kate. We will turn to Susan Riley.
Thank you, Kate. Hi, my name is Susan Riley. I serve as a deputy director in the Office of Community Relations. I've been in this role 6 years. Prior to that, I was nearly 20 years in student and campus life. I worked in residential programs and held a number of different roles when I was with that group. With my current responsibilities, one of the things that I'm connected with is I oversee our Cornell United Way campaign. So work closely with folks across campus on that. I sit on a number of local boards of directors, including the Downtown Ithaca Alliance, the Chamber of Commerce, and also meet with the Ithaca area economic development group, so issues related to business and the local economy. I also serve on the Human Services Coalition and the United Way Board of Directors. On campus, I work very closely with our sustainability partners and am involved in a lot of different issues and topics related to those groups.
Super. Thank you, Susan. Gary.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. And thanks so much for a few minutes. When we're on campus, we're right across the hall from the Assembly's office there on the first floor of Day Hall. And so once again, my name is Gary Stewart. I've been at Cornell for about 20 years doing community relations work. We have offices, our colleagues are in Albany and Washington. We work very closely with them as well as with University Communications. Prior to coming to Cornell, I was in the newspaper business my entire career, including down at the Ithaca Journal back in the day, and then lived all over the country and overseas. I grew up in Canandaigua and always wanted to get back to the Finger Lakes region. Leadership Tompkins has been mentioned. We sponsor a couple of Leadership Tompkins folks every year. If anyone's ever interested in that program, please let me know. As far as board work goes, I'm on the board of directors for Tompkins Consolidated Area Transit, aka TCAT, as well as the Air Services Board, so the county airport. If you ever have any questions or concerns about bus or air travel, let me know and I'll get you an answer. And finally, I'd be remiss if I didn't say I'm a former member of the Employee Assembly. Thank you.
Super. I'll give a little introduction of myself and then roll into my discussion of our local economic snapshot. So I'm Kate Supran. I've been with the Office of Community Relations for 4 years. Briefly before that at Cornell, I worked with the Office of Engagement Assemblies and had the pleasure of being Hey Hey's colleague there before we both moved on. And prior to that, I was active in local government in the village of Cuba Heights as the mayor and a member of the Board of Trustees for the combined between the two of them, seven years. So I changed sides of the table and am now, of course, instead of trying from the community side to relate with Cornell and interact with Cornell, I'm trying to help folks in local government, nonprofits, and folks on campus find out or know and make the connections they need to back and forth between campus and the community. As with Gary and Susan, I serve on a variety of local boards. I am on the board of our local Cornell Cooperative Extension Association for Tompkins County. I am on the Ithaca Tompkins Transportation Council Planning Committee, which funnels state and federal money into transportation money into Tompkins County. The Cuga Lake Scenic Byway, Lifelong, which is a senior citizen activity association. And I also do a lot of work with or make a lot of connections with local schools and school districts. I wanted to show you all though, and so now that's my introduction done, and now I'm gonna move into talking about one of my projects. Can I share my screen? Is that okay? Let's see. Does someone have the ability to let me share my screen?
Sorry, 1 second.
Okay.
You should be good to go now. Thanks, Kate.
Okay, thank you. Let's see, screen share. And I'll pull up, here we go, our local economic snapshot. So each year, the Office of Community Relations works with our partners in the budget office to look at the impact that Cornell has, it's our role in the local economy. Starting after the close of the fiscal year, we give it a couple of months for the dust to settle. So fiscal year begins, closes June the 30th. We start in September to gather data points of Cornell's role in the local economy. And it comes together and comes out the end of January and gives a nice picture of the role that Cornell plays. This is available on the Community Relations website as a PDF, which is accessible. And then it is also accessible as a, if you just search local economic snapshot, it comes up as this nice web page. You can see we include information on payroll, on student spending and visitor spending, both of which of course took a hit in 2020, and probably for visitor spending at least an even bigger hit will be in fiscal year 2021. But you can see we have $1 billion payroll. We have, we also track purchasing and construction spending within the county. We look at contributions to local governments, like the MOU we have with the City of Ithaca, the contribution we make to the Ithaca City School District, and other funds to nonprofit organizations and public transit. We also tally up, oftentimes I know folks have heard, oh, Cornell doesn't pay any taxes. Cornell is actually the third largest taxpayer in Tompkins County. So we track the property taxes that are paid directly by Cornell and by leases for activity on Cornell-owned land, which considers includes things like the Maplewood Graduate Housing neighborhood and the Brizano Center in College Town. We also pay quite a bit in local municipal fees for water, sewer, stormwater. So we include that. We tally up our federal, state, and corporate spending that's spent locally. Susan already mentioned the role we play in the Cornell, in the local United Way campaign. Susan coordinates, is on the United Way board locally and also coordinates Cornell's portion of the campaign. And then we have several, two of which are here, venture or what would we call them, business incubators, REV, which is downtown, and then the McGovern Family Center for Venture Development. And we track the local venture capital that they raise each year and the new jobs that they create. So this we find is useful in, to our colleagues on campus locally, to members of the local community, and also to our colleagues in Albany and Washington, and helping to create a picture of Cornell and Ithaca and Tompkins County, and even spreading a little bit around. As we've talked about, most of Cornell's employees do live in the county, but it's only approximately 3/4 live in the county and 1/4 live in the surrounding counties. So that is it on the snapshot, and I will hand off to Susan to talk about connections off campus. And I'll stop sharing for now, but pull up some other things for Susan. Susan.
Thanks, Kate. The first thing that Kate is going to pull up for me is a screen share of some of the past meetings that we have organized with the local community, as well as local agencies, not-for-profits, and other organizations in the local community. So if we could see that.
There we go.
It's quite small, but if you look closely, we have always been engaged, meeting regularly with the town of Ithaca, the city of Ithaca. We meet regularly with the county government officials as well. So we have standing regular meetings with lots of our municipal partners as well as others in the community. During this past year, in particular with COVID, we extended our outreach quite a bit, and we hosted several neighborhood meetings and met with more, outside groups and organizations than we had previously, often just dropping in for 15 minutes or longer as needed to provide updates. We found that particularly during the summer last year, there was a lot of concern, which most of you probably heard from the local community about why we were bringing students back, and I think some concerns and fears related to the pandemic. And so we responded by having information-based meetings with the community, and we found that helped a lot in terms of being able to provide information to local neighborhoods and other organizations. And so we are continuing to meet regularly, maybe not quite as often as we did during the summer, but we're meeting regularly with many groups and organizations. The next site that we're going to share is a list of some of the different boards and organizations that we are involved with. We alluded to some of these in our introductions, but this gives you an idea of some of the different groups and organizations, such as the College Town Neighborhood Council, which I help coordinate with a neighbor who lives in that community. I also mentioned that we have like our county working group or our City Cornell working group. And you can see that we do try to stay connected with various neighborhood groups and with local businesses and other organizations in the community. And this is just a list of those that we interact with quite regularly. So our job is to be out and about and interacting with folks and building relationships. And we found out in particular, especially during COVID, that we depended on these relationships in order for us to help with the communication of what was happening on campus to the broader community.
Great. And as we've said, we're happy to help folks in either professional capacity or in a personal capacity connect with people off campus as their interests or professional needs require. Gary, I will turn it over to you to talk about our Town Gown Awards.
Thank you. So as Susan mentioned, as we looked at those organizations, and Kate mentioned this too, we know that a lot of our colleagues don't live in Ithaca, and in many instances, not in Tompkins County. In our little division, two out of five folks live outside of Tompkins County. Only one of us lives in the city of Ithaca. So we're very cognizant of where our colleagues live. And if you live outside of the county and ever like us to come connect with any organization in Cortland or Tioga or Schuyler or whatever, please let us know. It's very important to us, and I never want to forget that so many of my colleagues don't live in Ithaca or even Tompkins County, so please keep us in mind for things like that. Also keep us in mind for this event we do every year called the Town Gown Awards. We call them the TOGOs. This past year was our first virtual one, but we've done it for 10 years in a row. The president makes remarks, and we recognize community partnerships. So when you hear town gown relations, that's what it is, and that's the name of the TOGOs. And we also say thanks to people who are retiring from elected or appointed positions that have made a difference in their community. And sometimes that person might be employed by Cornell. So for instance, this year, Paul Streeter up in DFA has done so much great work in Dryden, and he was on the school board he's on the Gadabout board. And so if you ever have any colleagues that are retiring and have been really involved in their community, please let us know. And it's always great when we can thank people who work at Cornell. This past year, you know, we had everything from public health nurses to firefighters to people just involved in their community. So we do these things every November or early December. And it's really a great event that's led every year by remarks from the president. And this goes back to when David Scorton was president. So please keep us in mind about this, and we're glad to help. And again, we know you folks are very busy, and we appreciate you giving us a few minutes this afternoon.
Okay, so that brings us to the end of the information we have to share with you, but we have time, I think, left on the agenda if anyone has some questions that you would like to ask us. I did also put into chat the link to our homepage on the community relations website, as well as to the local economic snapshot on cornell.edu. A couple of events that we have coming up. Next week, we have our Greater Ithaca Town Hall Q&A on the 27th, where Joel Molina and Charlie and Diane Charlie Krasansky, Diane Miller from our Albany and Washington offices, and Pat Wynn from Student and Campus Life give a very brief overview and then answer questions that members of the larger community might have. And then the week after that, we have something called Town Gown Tuesdays that highlights the first Tuesday of each month, a panel Q&A and discussion on a campus community issue. And this month, for May, it will be on prison education and reentry programming with Cornell faculty and staff and the community activists. So we also, I know I said I'd answer questions. We also have a couple of media outlets that are for the community. We do a weekly radio show each week called All Things Equal on WHCU. That's another resource we can offer to members of the larger community in Ithaca and Tompkins, as well as folks at Cornell. It focuses on topics of diversity, equity, inclusion, and sustainability. And we have a bi-monthly column in Tompkins Weekly that does focus more specifically on town gown issues. So all that said, does anyone have questions for us? Just sing out.
Looks like Andrea has her hand raised. Andrea?
Hi, thank you all for coming and presenting the information for us today. It's really helpful. I know when we, in the fall semester, some of the initial responses were positive about how Cornell has addressed the concerns that you indicated about bringing students back. And I didn't know if there's any update to that, any perspectives from that town gown relationship about the way that COVID has been addressed on campus. I didn't know if Gary, you could provide any insight into that.
Yeah, I mentioned, I've worked at Cornell for a long time and been in the community for a long time. In many ways, it has been one of the hardest years for community relations, just because of the stuff that we've taken on. And in a lot of ways, it's been the most gratifying. So last year, when we announced our plans that we're going to come back, people were freaking out, and the students are going to come back, and people are going to die and everything else. And so it required a lot of, and then we were getting a lot of stuff sent down to us from the president's office that we needed to respond to as well. And I just think, because I have such great colleagues, that we just handled it about as well as we could. And there were times when people were so nervous and so upset, I would just say, hey, you know, let's meet Stewart Park and we'll walk around and talk about this. It needed a lot of individual attention. And having been in Ithaca for so long, it's a lot of times people, when they screw up or rush to judgment, it's very rare that people loop back and say, I was wrong about that. I'm sorry. I can't tell you how many times that happened, that people just came back and they said, geez, you know, we rushed to judgment and you guys had a good plan and thank you. And when they thank us, they're thanking all of you too, because staff is what makes Cornell, staff and experience. And I've learned so much from so many of you, and your role in the past year has just been essential. So Andrea, I know that's a long answer to your question, but I've just sort of, I was very touched by the whole experience and how well Cornell did, because we talk to college towns across the country every day, and people call us up and say, how are you guys doing that at Cornell? And you know, I always start with staff. And so around the country, we're considered the gold standard over the last year. And you know what? We deserve to be, due in large part to many people on this Zoom. So thank you.
Great. Any other questions before we turn it back to Hey for the EA agenda?
I have a question.
Sure.
It sounds like, and you know, piggybacking on what Andrea said, I think a lot of the community and even the college and staff members at the beginning were really fearful of the students coming back and COVID rates increasing. Now that we've sort of dispelled some of those fears and we're monitoring all these COVID cases, what do you think are some of the larger issues facing the community now? What are ways in which the EA can support community relations? What do you think are potential partnerships there?
I want to hear from Susan and the Kates, but economic recovery and development is really key to the work we're doing right now. And you know, we can't mandate like, hey, shop locally, whatever. Everyone has to like do their own stuff. Right now, TCAT is at about 25% of where it was in terms of ridership. I don't know if folks are going to, there's some folks who might never get on a bus again. But that bus system and the use of it is so essential at so many levels. And of course, it's connected to Gadabout too. So if you rode the bus before and are thinking about it, please think about it again, because it's clean and it's safe, and it's going to be really tough for Ithaca and Tompkins County and surrounding counties if TCAT isn't functional. The same goes for the airport. You know, some people are starting to fly places again because they want to get the heck out of here after being stuck. But so it's those sorts of things that are really essential. But Susan or Kay Soup, any comments on this?
Yeah, I think there's so many areas. And if you follow any social media or even news, you can see such a wide range of opinions about the presence of Cornell in the local community. And I think what we try to do is really listen to hear where those comments are coming from. And so other issues that I think continue to be important to the local community is energy and sustainability. We have some pretty complex systems on our campus, whether it's how we heat the campus by steam, or that we have lake source cooling as how we cool our buildings, which all innovative science driven opportunities, but there's some misunderstanding around some of those things. So I think when you're asking how you can help is, you know, when in doubt, connect with our office and say, hey, here's someone who has a question about X, who should they talk to, or where can they get more information? And most of the time we can get people connected as needed. Also, even on our website, like even taking a look at the economic snapshot that Kate manages each year, it's just a great way to be like, oh, okay, we do pay taxes, or we do contribute, you know, with $1 billion payroll to the local economy. So just taking a breath and maybe referring folks our way, and we're happy to talk with anyone. I mean, that's what we do this for. We love to engage and help dispel some of the concerns that that exist out there.
I would say one area, and it relates, of course, to economic recovery, is the looking at the impact of visitor spending, because that's a huge segment of our sector in our economy. Last spring, between the shutdown in March and the end of June, that period of time is of course a critical time for visitors in Ithaca. And because of the reduction for the overall year, I think visitor spending was down 40%. So Encouraging people to come back to Ithaca and do so safely and having the students here, I think is a great thing. And I'm really pleased we've done it successfully. But I think looking at sort of the impacts on tourism in the local economy and visitor spending. And with Susan, I'll echo the local snapshot. We have one of the two growing economies in upstate New York and counties with a growing economy. So we're Cornell feels really lucky to be in Tompkins County, but I think we're one in the same. You know, we're Cornell is part of the community and we're forever intertwined. I see a few hands up, Kit.
Yes, hi. Thank you all for coming and sharing this. Kate, one of the things that you actually shared on the economic screenshot or snapshot was the taxes paid to government. And I actually had, I'm actually glad that you shared that because I, up until this moment, I had just seen on my Facebook feed folks who would consistently, spew the opposite. So I was almost wondering, would you be able to help me understand or provide some background on how that kind of got out there or how that started? Because clearly Cornell is paying taxes. Sure. So just in case I'm able to
I can
educate some folks.
Say briefly, now we don't pay taxes on the bulk of our holdings. We do pay taxes on the things that are not part of the, you know, the 401(c) coverage of our main campus. And a lot of it is through the business and tech park, just, you know, county taxes, school taxes on our taxable properties. And the model of, say, you know, everyone was familiar with, I think, the rebuilding of Maplewood. Prior to the rebuild, Maplewood was owned and operated by Cornell directly and was off the tax rolls. Now that the land has been leased to a private developer, it is on the tax rolls and generates $1 million in taxes a year. So there are some ways that Cornell has chosen to operate that do put money back into the tax system. And certainly municipalities know that nonprofits are not exempt from paying municipal fees. So in addition to the taxes that we pay on the portions of Cornell's holdings that are on the tax rolls, we pay for water, sewer, stormwater, just like everybody else. So, and Kit, I'm happy to connect with you and look into it in more detail, but.
Yeah, let me just jump in for a second. So there's things that, like East Hill Plaza, Cornell owns that. We have offices in East Hill Plaza. That whole thing's on the tax rolls. Downtown stuff like Rev, the business incubator, the Cornell store, the hotel where we have, did have 300 jobs from AA&D, all on the tax rolls. Some of it's not obvious. And Kit, to your question, we started this thing a few years ago because, you know, we would say Cornell doesn't do enough for the community. Then we'd be scrambling around trying to justify what we're doing. So thanks to Kate Supran, we have this product every year. And it's just like, here's the information. And then, you know, look at it how you want to. And I also wanted to mention that part of our job, as my colleagues referenced, it's a two-way thing. We're not out spinning Cornell. I mean, when we screw up, we're the first persons to say it. I always say Cornell is too big not to screw up. And so people need that transparency. And then the biggest thing we have going for us is trust. So it's a two-way relationship. It's not just us on the Hill saying, look at us, follow us. It's community relations.
I'm going to be able to spend some time on Brian and Ellen, so I'm going to move on to Brian, but I will ask Kit and Kate to connect separately. Thank you, Brian.
Yeah, I too appreciate you sharing, the whole group, both Kate's, Gary, Kate, for sharing, Susan, for sharing all the information you did. I have used that snapshot a few times since it's come about because I hear the rumor mill and the stuff out there in the community as well as Cornell's not helpful to our community. Cornell hurts us. And I appreciate the information you share because I use that to justify the means and say, hey, wait a minute, you don't have all the facts. So I really do appreciate the work you guys are doing. Gary, it's nice seeing you again. I always appreciate the work you do. And thank you for the transparency and being honest. That's really helpful in the community. I do appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Ellen.
Yes, hi. Sorry, looking for the mute button. I was wondering about, in relation to the economic recovery and growth that you're promoting to have people go out into the community and spend money in the local community. I know that human resources, there's a page for Cornell employees that's like a perks and discounts page. And there's a list of, retailers or businesses that Cornell offer or that offer a discount to Cornell employees. I know like the local Agway store has one. I use it when I go there to buy all my stuff for gardening. But there aren't many local businesses on that list. And I'm wondering if that's something that can be a mutual benefit to the community and to the employees, because employees took a hit this year too. You know, we had a cut to our benefits or our salary, depending on what unit we work in. And in general, it was just a tough year for us as well. And I think giving a perk to the employees that's going to benefit the broader community and bring those dollars back into the community could be, something to think about.
Yeah, I mean, a discount. I often wonder how many people even know that perks page exists. I don't think, and that's nobody's fault. I just think it needs to be out there more.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, say someone's starting a job at Cornell. That should be one of the, not the first thing they realize, but it's like, hey, this is a nice thing. So I think that's really a great point, Ellen. And I have to loop back this afternoon with Mary Opperman about something. I'm going to mention that because you're spot on with your remarks. So thank you.
Great. I know we need to move on, but if questions occur to you, you can always use the contact email address on the community relations website or just email me directly and we will get you an answer or help you make the connection that you're looking for.
Thank you. I just want to say Kate Supron, Kate Brill, Susan Riley, Gareth Stewart, thank you so much for coming, for presenting, for giving us these resources. And I think, there's some great information that, we can share and help to dispel any sort of rumors or misinformation. So I'm really glad that you came here today. And I hope that we'll just stay in touch and continue to share resources and share ideas. So thank you all.
Thank you.
All right, moving on to committee reports, I'm going to send the floor over to Michelle Loparco for the executive committee report.
Let me grab my notebook here. All right, we met on the 15th of April and we discussed the agenda for this meeting, as well as we had a discussion about the return to work and parking situation. We discussed the employee assembly visibility and the current election. And we hope that maybe, I don't see that Nasser's here to give us an update from the elections committee, but we hope that we maybe can do some summer engagement for some of the vacant seats. We also, I brought up the report from PSAC, and that's the public safety survey that went around in regards to campus police and their having firearms, et cetera, carrying firearms, and their role in campus safety. And then we talked about the EA liaison having an annual update from these seats, and we hope to implement that on our May 5th meeting agenda. And that's the bulk of what we discussed.
Thank you, Michelle. I just want to add some context. So an email had gone out indicating that students would need to return in the fall. And so from that, I think there were a lot of questions about what about the faculty staff? I've been in touch with Mary Opperman to ask about what does reactivation look like? And it sounds like senior leadership right now are working on a reactivation sort of rubric to determine what roles, what jobs would either be fully in person, remote, or maybe there could be some sort of hybrid situation in the middle. So it looks like senior staff is looking at a fall workplace principles, policy over the next 2 weeks. And Mary Opperman has indicated as soon as they sign off that they're hoping they can review it with the employee assembly. And I'm hoping that we can have an open forum to answer staff questions about it, because I think there will be a lot of questions when we think about reactivation and, if there are possibilities to work remotely. I think even within my college, there are a lot of questions and a lot of maybe assumptions about what that might look like for the fall, especially as we're mandating vaccines for students and having full return to in-person instruction in the fall. So I do want to open up for any questions or concerns about this. Feel free to use the hands raised function or just physically raise your hand if you have any questions. Seeing none, I'm going to move on to Communications and Awards Committee. Ellen?
Hello. We are still moving full speed ahead. We are working heavily on our awards and recognition portion of the committee charter, and we have just worked on establishing a subcommittee within our committee that's going to focus solely on awards and recognition so that we can make sure that that stays a central topic moving forward. And the nomination period for the George Peter Award has closed, and we ended with 23 very strong nominations. And we are in the process right now working with HR to get those all approved to make sure that they meet the criteria and there's no red flags there. And then our subcommittee will work on narrowing down those nominations to the top three, and then the committee will move forward from there. I was very pleased with the response that we received, and so impressed by all these employees that were nominated. So it's really exciting. And then we also have been talking about the newly revamped Opperman Award, which we have named the Award for Staff Integrity and Inclusion. And we will be presenting a resolution at our next EA meeting with the updated criteria for that award. And hopefully we can get that passed before the end of this term so that we can work on getting the call out this summer for nominations for that award. And then as always, we are working on the EA Voice newsletter. We had a lot of content come through in our April newsletter. So that was pretty jam-packed, full of information. We have our next newsletter scheduled for May. We don't have a target date yet. We're kind of waiting to see what happens, if we're going to have any other forums or panel discussions, like you mentioned, Hey, so we can kind of schedule around that to make sure we optimize promotion. And we're hoping that Kate will be our employee spotlight for next month. We'd like to include the information that was presented today from University Relations in that next newsletter. And I think that's pretty much it for us for right now. But as always, feel free to contact me if you have anything that you need help pushing out there. I'm happy to use our social media pages to promote events or include them in our newsletter or anything like that.
Thank you, Ellen. Are there any questions or comments? Just checking for any hands raised. Seeing.
Hey, Michelle had a question in the chat.
Okay.
Related to executive committee report, I think.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I must have missed that. So let me try to find it. So Michelle Podluck asks, I would like to know if the reactivation committee has a caregiver consultant. Oh gosh, this is moving. Consultant to in it to ensure that they're taking into account the fact that youth under 16 are not vaccine eligible yet. and that many caregiving programs are not yet back to a regular schedule. So I don't know any details about who is involved in the senior leadership discussions on reactivation. I had asked in the past to Mary Offerman if there was a reactivation committee that we do have representation from employee assembly, but it sounds like the discussions right now are happening at the senior leadership level, but there will be an opportunity for us to talk with Mary Offerman to review what those plans are. So I'm hoping that that discussion will happen before it's publicized to staff broadly so that we can provide commentary. And I think that this brings up a really good point about, you know, what that's going to look like, because I know there are a lot of staff members who have childcare needs. And if we're not having, you know, these voices at the table, they might not be able to address some of these concerns. So I'm really hoping we can bring this up when Mary Offerman comes. I see Ashley Miller's hand is raised.
Yeah, I just want to comment on that question, that that topic of conversation is within the wellness groups. That's Michelle Arteby, and she's a direct report to Mary Offerman. So while she's not directly involved in the conversation, she has that dotted line seat to the conversation. So I believe that is being considered in the model that they're mapping out.
Thank you, Ashley. Are there any other questions? I'm sorry, I missed that. View this chat. Are there any other questions for the executive committee or the communication committee? I'm just going to give some more time for people to raise their hands. Seeing no hands raised, I'm going to move on to Jessica Withers with the education committee.
We actually haven't met since the last EA meeting, so I don't have anything to report. We have a meeting this afternoon, so I'll have an update at our next EA meeting.
Thank you, Jessica. Are there any questions for Jessica, any comments for the education committee? Seeing none, I'm going to move on to Christy Mahoney with the Welfare Committee. I'm not sure if I see Christy Mahoney here. Is there anybody else from the Welfare Committee that would be able to provide an update?
I can do that.
Thank you.
At our last meeting, we had updates from some of our partners, like Michelle Arteby wasn't there, but she sent an update, transportation, where everything is status quo. No changes right now. And an update from the wellness, Ruth Murley Doyle from wellness. We had some updates from them. And then we talked about the return to work challenges. Michelle Podolik is also on the welfare committee. And we discussed this, the need for there being childcare needs to be taken into account as plans are made to return to work. We also talked about the strategic paid time off planning initiative that's going on right now and employee burnout and the need to take vacation. Also the upcoming wellness breaks, that's this Friday and Monday. So don't forget that if you can take time off or cancel meetings and just give yourself a wellness break, that is really smart to do. So that's the best update I have for you. I probably could answer questions, but not too detailed.
Thank you, Jessica. Are there any questions or comments? Seeing none, we're going to move on to the Benefits and Policy Committee. Brian?
Well, hello, everyone. We had our last meeting on the 16th of March. I've been kind of incapacitated. My wife had surgery, so I haven't had a chance to plan anything. It took me a while to get my notes up. In the short, the notes on that meeting, I've been in communication and working on setting up a presentation with Alexis Brubaker. She's the interim university policy director. And I'm trying to set up a presentation from her on university policy, which I think would be beneficial for the whole group. So we're working on that. The next meeting, we couldn't get her. She had a prior commitment, but I'm going to try the following meeting. We did talk about, and this kind of piggybacks on what everyone was talking about, the reactivation planning and if we will have input. And Hey wrote a letter, and Mary Opperman responded that the EA would have involvement in that when that happens. The discussion is still open, I guess, on how that's going to happen. But I believe Mary Opperman has every intent to include the EA and make sure that we're part of that discussion. So I'm happy about that. That was a good response from her. We had a long discussion on the EA retreat and the priorities poll. Some thoughts would be a forum or a video Zoom session or recording on changes to the benefits. Everybody's benefits changed, it seems like, regularly. And we thought that it'd be nice if somebody could tap into that, or maybe they can do a presentation like a forum or something. So we had some discussion about that. Maybe an annual webinar would be kind of cool, so people can go tap into it anytime they want. So I know a lot of my staff relied on the Benefair, and we don't have that anymore. And they're not so savvy with the computer, but they can get on there and do See You Learn. They can go on and look at a pre-recording of all the changes that might be helpful for those people that are visual acuities, and that might be helpful. So we talked about that. There's also a little bit of discussion on stipend for employees that will be working remotely, and what that if there's an option there. So we talked about that a little bit. We also had a lengthy discussion on the cutoff date, October 15th, for accruals, and in a correspondence that we received about that subject from a constituent. Hey, sent an email to Mary Opperman to see if there's any flexibility there. And I'm waiting for the results of that email and if there's any openness to changes to the cutoff. I also understand that there's a big push because people are using their vacations and they should use their vacations. So that we're kind of riding the border on that one. Under new business, we discussed opinions on the staff development day. And we also discussed a situation where an employee was forced into using their accruals at a designated time. We didn't have time to go into discussion much about that. So we put that off to the following agenda and the next BPC meeting, which will happen on the 27th next week. And that's all I have. Any questions?
I just wanted to add, so I think back in March, the question about the vacation cutter process. So I think it was last year, they decided to not cut off the vacation because of COVID. And so the question this year was whether or not in October, so this coming October, if that vacation cutter process would still take place. So the response from Mary was that the cutter is going to return at the end of October. Mary Opperman encourages people to start planning their vacations to bring their balances back under the maximum over the next couple of months. And so my follow-up to her was whether or not supervisors and, you know, managers have been advised to promote more flexibility and to be more lenient with PTO requests. She indicated that she sent out a note to managers encouraging them to have staff plan their vacations. She's spoken to all senior leaders on the same topic, and all have agreed and have met with HR directors. So it sounds like they need people to take the time off, and they're really encouraging supervisors to get on the same page and promote it and be accommodating of it. So I'm going to send you that email now, Brian.
Awesome. Thank you.
So I want to ask if there are any questions about this or any other questions about the Benefits and Policy Committee update. Seeing none, I don't see that Nasser is here. Is there anybody else on the Elections Committee that can give an update? Ellen?
No, so I actually just wanted to say that we haven't met and we have not received an update. And I was actually wondering if Gina is able to provide us with the election results, because we never received that information. We just thought we knew that the election, like we weren't going with a voted election, but we don't know which seats were filled and which seats are still open.
I actually don't have that, the final information. I think it, okay. I would defer to Nasser just for, I mean, I've only had casual conversations and I wouldn't want to get in ahead of him on any of that.
Okay. So no update, I guess.
I do know I went to the last elections committee. I didn't know it was canceled. So I was there. Somebody made it.
How us about that meeting, Brian.
It was quiet. It was quiet. There wasn't a lot of discussion that day. I don't know why.
I'm sorry, Brian. I'm sorry I missed you. I was probably there briefly, but not at the right time. I'm like, nobody's here. Must have been canceled.
Yeah.
For the last couple of
months. I think Jamie showed up at one point too because he messaged me. Are we having a meeting today?
Oh no.
Yeah. So if only we'd all been there at the same time. But without Nasser, we didn't have the information we needed. So
right. I will get in touch with Nasser and see if he can provide information on the results of the election so we can share it with the group broadly. All right, so that completes committee reports. We have about 20 minutes right now to get into open discussion. Is there anything that anybody wants to bring to the floor? Any questions, concerns, maybe things that they're seeing that they want to talk more broadly with the entire assembly? Jessica?
So I would just like to say thank you to two people. One is Nasser. I don't know how many people attended the COVID memorial, but he read a piece. The whole memorial was really well done and it was beautiful and more touching than I expected. And Nasser read a piece and I just wanted to say thank you to him for doing that. It was a lovely piece and he did a fantastic presentation. And the other person I wanted to say thank you to was Hey, because I have been trying to write an email to you and I can't figure out how to say it. So I'm just gonna awkwardly say it in person. But thank you for the, and I think it's Ching Ming celebration conversation. I really enjoyed that. And I enjoyed learning about something that I had a passing knowledge of, but it was a lovely way to learn about another culture and a lovely way to just make a connection between two different approaches to life. So thank you. I really appreciated that. It was lovely.
Thank you, Jessica. Thank you for participating in that. Lisa, I see your hand is raised.
Hi, yes. I have a question from one of my constituents, and I'm hoping y'all can help me. So he asks how to get policy passed through the employee assembly. He has an idea that he'd like to collect support for, and he's wondering if there's a petition process he can start or, whether he should pull a focus group together or, you know, I'm curious and I don't know. I'm so new to the employee assembly. I don't know how to go about that. So I'd appreciate anything you get.
Thank you, Lisa. I think the best way to work through these issues is go to a committee. So for example, the Benefits and Policy Committee, I think that would be a great space for you to start to talk about the issue, create consensus. I think it's really helpful to meet in a group because there's so much knowledge there in regards to the existing policies. And it's really great to meet with people from across different units of the university. And I think Brian does a really good job of leading those meetings and bringing issues to the forefront and moving them forward. So I would recommend going through a committee because all resolutions, all recommendations for any sort of changes, whether they're policy or any recommendations for university leadership have to be approved through a committee anyway. So that's where I would recommend you start with maybe the Benefits and Policy Committee. I see that, I don't know if it's Kit who raised her hand first or Marin, but I'm sorry.
Sorry, can I just follow up with that?
Yeah, sure.
So would I just reach back to him and you know, get, garner more information from him? Then, because I am part of that committee, and then I can bring it to our committee. So,
yes.
Okay, perfect.
I think that would be a great way. Thank you so much.
Perfect
question.
Thank you.
So I'm going to go with Kit, then Marin.
Hey, actually going off of what you just said, Lisa, how I got involved with the BPC was me bringing a policy concern I had up. So I don't know if down the road it may warrant this person coming to one of our meetings, but just that's just a side note. I've raised my hand because I was just thinking about it and I was curious. I guess I heard in prior to COVID EA years that the EA did not meet over the summer, and I was wondering what that intention is for this year.
Thank you, Kit. I do want to direct this to Gina because I know last year we did extend our year to involve some meetings in the summer because there was a lot going on with COVID. And so it seemed like the need was there for the employee assembly to convene. So Gina, what's the process for that? If maybe this employee assembly body wanted to extend our meetings into the summer?
Typically it follows the academic calendar, as you note. Last year was it was very different. And so the assembly determined that there was a need. There was the summer forums. Typically what happens is after the organizational meeting at the end of the academic term, the assembly is dormant until the fall. But it has what's been typically a day-long retreat at some point in the summer to do its fall planning. It was largely because people had, many staff were tied to the academic calendar. People wanted to respect vacation and different things. It was hard to ask people to commit to the summertime, but I don't believe, because I did take a look, but I don't believe there's anything in your governing documents that specifies academic term, which some of the assemblies do have. So it could be up to you, but traditionally and historically, the assembly has been dormant during the summer.
Ellen, your hand is raised. Is this in regards to Gina?
Yeah, I just had a follow-up question to that. It was my understanding that the time frame for the EA seats begin on June 1st. So even regardless of if we meet during the summer or not, it's like a new assembly starting June 1st. Is that correct?
That's correct.
The new assembly will have to determine the schedule, right?
The calendar for the year is determined when at the organizational meeting. That's the new assembly's first gathering. And it adopts, again, traditionally, typically, its calendar for the next year at that meeting so that we can do the planning and the calendars and get all the meetings spaces set. A lot of the logistical things happens over the summer. And then the assembly knows when it's going to meet. But you're right. The term of the assembly, of all of the assemblies, is June 1st to May 31st.
Does that answer your question, Kit?
It sounds like, that I appreciated the backstory on that. And it sounds like that might be a TBD for us. So.
Thank you. Moving on to Marin. Then I think Michelle's hand was raised. So Marin?
Yeah, this is just super quick on an entirely different topic. If anyone here has the contact information or a way to connect with the sort of COVID testing infrastructure, I would really appreciate a connection or sort of a networking there. There's just some little things that especially those of us down at the tech campus have noticed, like really tiny little quality of life things, like getting a Cornell Tech label on the little dropdown where you can select, who you're affiliated with in the surveillance testing, that I would love to be able to see if there's a way to incorporate. So if anyone has that connection, please feel free to reach out to me. Again, it's nothing major, but we're always trying to really make Cornell Tech sort of visible as a larger part of the community and be seen. And so I think there's some really low overhead ways to do that. I'd love to see if that's possible at this point.
Thank you, Marin. It sounds like Ashley Miller can help connect you. So I'm hoping you and Ashley will connect offline and help get that resource for you. Kit, I see your hand is raised, but I think Michelle had her hand raised first. Michelle, I see your hand is no longer raised. Is there something else you wanted to bring up?
Oh, I just wanted to promote the discussion of the calendar for the summer at our next meeting. It'd be really good to discuss that.
Thank you, Michelle. And Kit, did you have anything else? I saw your hand was raised, but I wasn't sure if it was still raised or not. Yes.
No, it was raised from earlier, but I agree with what Michelle just shared.
Thank you, Kit. Gina, your hand is raised.
Just related to the calendar, again, as was sort of alluded to, the calendar for anything beyond the last meeting that is scheduled will be the new assembly. So once Nassar has confirmed who the assembly members are and who's been seated at the organizational meeting, which I think is May 19th, is that, I think that's the right date, that will be the time at which the new assembly can gather to determine its calendar.
Thank you, Gina. Are there any other questions? Anything else anybody wants to bring to the floor? We have about 10 minutes. Brian?
Hi. So answering Marin's question, so you can get help with the COVID. At the bottom of your daily check, you can scroll down and they got a get help icon there that you can get help with, or you can call the number there at 607-253-7500, and they can answer all your questions dealing with COVID and they can get you the help that you need.
Thank you, Brian. Ashley?
Hey, Brian, I was actually on that team for like 3 months. Uh-huh. So Marin, I think I can give you a direct person to contact. I'm sending you an email right now just to get more information so I can point you in the right direction. But thank you, Brian. You are correct for that, that support line.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Thanks for sharing all that information. Is there
sorry, I can't raise my hand. I can.
Oh yeah, because you're a co-host. All right, Michelle.
I think we discussed that the organizational meeting is actually May 5th. Is that not? Because the election, well, again, we don't have an election update, so we really can't say anything based on what we know through email. However, let me go to my calendar, and I thought May 5th was our, because isn't the 4th the UA's meeting is on the 4th, and then ours is on the 5th. And so we have to have that organizational meeting in order for everything to line up. And then the new, whatever, that's what I thought we had discussed, but maybe I'm wrong. But I thought May 5th was the...
I'm looking for the calendar.
I think you're right. And then the 19th, is either just a last meeting for this assembly, or maybe it was an extra meeting, but you're correct in the timing of that.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ashley, I see your hand is raised. Is it still raised, or is it from the prior comment?
Oops, sorry, prior comment. I'll take it down.
All right. Thank you, Ashley. Marcy?
Hi, yes. I'm just reading an email from Nassar because I'm on the new EA, starting with a new. And it said, he said the meeting thereafter on May 5th will conclude and then immediately roll into the new EA members organizational meeting. So that would be the May 5th meeting is what he said anyway in that email.
Thank you, Marcy. That's very helpful. All right. So it sounds like the organizational meeting is May 5th. Thank you all. We have about 7 minutes left. Is there anything else anyone wants to discuss? We can end the meeting early. We can continue discussion, really up to you all. To end the meeting early, I would need a motion to end the meeting.
I motion to end.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. If there's no dissent, then I'm going to end this meeting at 1:23. I'm going to call this meeting to order. I thank you all for your participation, and feel free to get in touch. I will get in touch with Nassar to get the results of the EA election and hopefully publicize that all to you. So thank you very much. This meeting is adjourned.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.